The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, everyone. I'm Benaz Garamani, the Chief Marketing Officer at Stuart Weitzman. Welcome to the Shine series presented by Stuart Weitzman, where I share conversations with inspiring figures about making bold moves, shining with confidence, and walking the walk. If you love shoes as much as we do and want to get inspiration from the icons wearing them, this is the series for you. So, for our next episode of Shine Series, I'm so excited to have Chriselle Lim here with us today. Chriselle is the co-founder of Bumo Brain and Bumo Work, a fashion beauty influencer and content creator. Welcome, Chriselle.
Hi, thank you for having me. I am so excited to be chatting with you today.
Couldn't be more excited to have you with us. So we're going to start off so that we can get to know sort of your early days. I'd love to take a look back at how you got started.
Yeah, well, I started off many years ago. This might age me a bit, but over a decade ago, I was in college. I was just looking for a creative outlet somewhere, and I landed on YouTube. I've always loved fashion. I wasn't studying fashion at the time, but it was a way for me to express myself, my outfits. I was dabbling into styling, so I was like putting looks together online, and I built a little small community through my blog and YouTube channel about 12 years ago, and that's how it all started for me. And I definitely did not start it because I thought I was going to create a business out of it. It was purely just for myself and just for my creativeness.
Wow. So it started with YouTube. And I think you started out as a model, but really got into styling and then really took on as a, you know, on the fashion scene. And now you have millions of followers on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I mean, really, you truly are incredible and have built such an amazing community. At Stuart Weitzman, we believe very much in making bold moves. Can you tell us about a bold move that you made that kind of got you into this space?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think one of my, I guess, attributes that I like to credit that I have is I'm a big risk taker, and that kind of fuels me. I like the idea of big wins and big losses, as strange as that sounds, but it's exhilarating to me. So for me, when I was thinking of the idea of going into fashion, I wasn't quite sure if that was a move. So I said, you know what? I have nothing to lose. So I'm going to drop out of school, college. I was studying accounting. Can you believe that? Not many people know this, but I was studying accounting and I dropped out of school and I said, I want to study fashion. And so I think that was my very first big career risk-taking move that I've ever took action on. My parents were very mad, but I decided that I was going to do it. And then another big one that I could think of was pursuing my online career full-time. Back then, when I first started, an online creator, content creator, influencer, that wasn't even a thing. It was more about just these YouTubers that were just creating interesting things, but no one was really making money off of it. AdSense was barely starting back then. And so I just said, you know what? I'm going to give myself a year to try to make some sort of money off of this. And if it happens, great. If not, like, I'll just go back to styling and studying and finishing school. So that's what I did. And I think it's safe to say that it paid off.
It definitely paid off. I remember seeing this like great video you posted on TikTok about one of your early days of how you went out to Paris with Ami Song and were trying to figure out like, how am I going to get to these, you know, such coveted runway shows? And those were like bold moves. And you were creating video content before anybody was even creating video content, before brands were creating video content.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's another bold move that I made was, you know, back when Fashion Week was very private and kind of only for the select few editors, elitists, myself and Ami, who I used to hang out with a ton because we were kind of like building each other up. We still do, but like, you know, I have a family now. It's just like a lot harder to find the time. But back then we were just like each other's hype women and we were just like, yeah, let's do this together. And so we booked a plane ticket together. We booked an Airbnb. Funny story behind the Airbnb is we got scammed. And I know. So then we had to book another Airbnb. But those were the early days that we were invited to no shows at all. I think once a brand found out that we were there, they invited us to one of their shows. And every other show, we just crashed, which I don't like promoting because, I mean, I always just tell people, do what you got to do. So
yeah. Well, now it's every runway show isn't complete unless you're right there. So it's kind of amazing.
Thank
you. Become a fashion staple on Fashion Week for sure. So let's talk a little bit about your styling. You know, you're really known for your incredible style. How do you approach styling a look?
Yeah. So for me, it's always kind of a balance between feminine and something a bit more masculine. I don't like when outfits are too over the top feminine or girly, and vice versa, when things are too harsh and strong. I like a fine balance. So for instance, I'm wearing this really girly top today or girly dress, but then I would usually pair it with either something a bit more, I guess, casual, because this is a really dressy dress. So I actually wore it with sneakers, actually the Stuart Weitzman white sneakers that I wear practically every day. It's the perfect mom drop off the kids, I still want to look cool type of shoe. So yeah, my kind of theory in dressing is kind of finding a good middle for the in between and juxtaposing.
Yeah. Balance of casual and dressy, feminine and masculine, and you pull it off so well.
Thank you.
So great. And so how do you incorporate footwear into your styling philosophy? So you talked about the Willow sneaker and how it, you know, helps to kind of get through the day and complement your look, but do you start from the feet up or is it like your finishing touch?
The shoes for me are definitely the finishing touch. I think I like to keep things a bit more minimal as far as outfit goes. And I think this is something that has changed with age. I think before I would always invest into trends, but now I don't invest into any like trends that are like the it thing, especially when it comes to clothing. So I usually like to keep things neutral, minimal when it comes to clothing styles. And then I like to have fun with the shoes. And because I think shoes are the pop, the added pop and the added trend, if I do want to play with trends that I need versus like having to have like a head to toe look.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
That little accent at the end. So I know kind of dressing in general has been a little bit of a difference this past year and a half. Many of us have been working from home for quite some time. I have to say, I was pretty excited to kind of get dressed up for today.
I mean, you look amazing. Like, oh, wait, we're both doing like the puppy arm situation.
Totally.
Yeah.
I need it. I mean, with Zoom, there's only so much you can do and play with. And I was super excited to kind of have a reason to dress up all this time. But do you feel like your style has shifted at all during this time?
Yeah, it definitely has. And I still am that dressy girl. Like I always prefer to be dressier than more casual, but I think I toned it down a notch due to the pandemic and the shutdown, which is definitely more, you know, like I don't wear heels as much, but I literally live in my sneakers and flats, but I'll still wear like a nice kind of dressier dress. But before, I used to always be heels with everything. I was that heels girl, but now I think I'm more of a flats girl. So still the same, but little changes.
Yeah. Well, flats are here to stay. Just dress them up a little
bit. I agree.
So, you know, I mean, everyone I've been talking to lately has been talking about how excited they are about getting glammed and going out. And, you know, weddings are back and you recently celebrated your sister's wedding, which looks so amazing. I mean, tell us a little bit about that.
Oh my gosh. It was so magical. First of all, I haven't seen my family in so long, but secondly, like just the fact, the mere fact that like we could be out in heels, getting dressed up, celebrating our loved ones was the greatest feeling. And it just makes me feel so thankful of how far we've come as far as like globally. And it just, I don't know. It was definitely, when I got on the plane to go to her wedding, I was like crying the whole way because I was like, I can't believe I'm on a plane. I can't believe I'm seeing my sister. And it was just, it was magical.
Oh, it's really looked spectacular. I mean, the dress reveal and the seeing the whole family kind of just everyone looked so beautiful. I mean, your mom, oh my goodness, she is gorgeous. The whole
Thank
family.
You.
And
Thank
just seeing
you so
sisters,
much.
You know, the love that you have with your sister and I know with your daughters, that sort of, you know, love that the bond that you have as sisters is so amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely one of the biggest takeaways. Like, you just cannot take things for granted anymore because you just never know when you're going to see them next. And I'm just so grateful that I had my family next to me.
Yeah. It was beautiful. Such a wonderful moment. And thank you for sharing that with us. It was lovely just to kind of live through seeing all the incredible content. So we have a segment that we like to call Footnotes. And I ask every guest the same question. Is there a shoe that has changed your life?
Yeah. So I remember when I was just starting off with my styling career, this is a little bit before YouTube started to really take off for me. And I just couldn't afford any shoes, like designer shoes. And obviously trying to be an aspiring stylist, I needed to build up kind of my kit and my wardrobe essentials. And so I remember going to a showroom and they had an insider just for like stylists and assistants. They had this insider kind of sale and a pair of shoes that were originally like $1,200. Like I got them for $200, which was like still so much money to me at that time. But it was like the staple to all of like my clients, like they, I would put them in that shoe every single time and it would always get, I don't know, it would always get covered somehow. And so I always say, just make the investment in the shoes, even if you can't afford it, because it could take you a long ways. And that was like one of my fondest moments of a shoe that took me far in my career.
Oh, so it was like your lucky shoe.
Yes, my lucky shoe. And so to say, the only things I really invest into, to be honest, I don't really invest so much of my money into clothes, but it's shoes and bags. So
yeah, and they last. I mean, that's the thing, you know, having an incredible shoe closet of things that you love. I mean, it's one of my favorite things. They're like little treasures that you like to hold on to, and they have memories and you have experiences and they take you places. It's spectacular to have.
And I always like imagine passing this on, these like, I don't know, treasures of mine onto my daughters eventually. My mom passed a few things down to me and I just still hold them dearly to my heart. So yeah.
It's great. I remember a pair my grandmother gave me actually once, and it was like right when I turned 16, and I remember being like, oh my God, this is so cool. I can't believe my grandmother wore these stilettos.
Wow.
So one day I'm sure, you know, your girls are too going to be like, oh my God, mom, how did you walk in these shoes? They are spectacular.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's going to change, obviously, the styles, but I hope that they could still, I don't know, there's certain pieces, even though it's like not in style, you just hold on to them because you're just like, oh, they're so special, you know, like they hold such a special memory. So there's like special moments like that, like, I don't know, your first styling shoe for my instance, or like your wedding shoe, or like the first pair of stilettos that you wore to that job interview. They all hold like such special meanings. And yeah, I still hold on to those pieces. I'm that sentimental person that like has a hard time letting go of things.
Well, your closet must be spectacular. I can't even imagine. So we're going to switch a little bit and talk a little bit about one of your newest ventures. You know, we all know that you are such a fashion inspiration, but you are also a visionary entrepreneur and a business leader. Let's talk about Boomo. When did this idea come to you? How did this all come about?
Yeah, so Boomo was just a teeny little idea that I had when I had my first child, Chloe, about 6 years ago. I was really frustrated with the lack of options there were for working parents, especially working moms. I was feeding my child like on the go. I was traveling. I just felt so frustrated that I couldn't be like a present parent while still trying to like maneuver my career. And I felt like I had to choose. It was like a binary decision of this or that. And it's not like, how can I have both? It's more of like choose one or the other. And I'm like, we live in the 21st century and there's still no options for working parents. And then I went to Asia. And I started realizing what these like kind of locations that they had where it was kind of all for the parents, but all for the children as well. And so it wasn't necessarily like a co-working space with like licensed childcare, but it would be like restaurants and they would have childcare. And then it would be like a play space, but they would have like a beautiful adult area. And I was like, why don't we have more of these type of things in the US? So I started looking into it. And I realized that there was really nothing available.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were some co-working spaces that had unlicensed childcare, which means that you could take your child to the space, but they can't legally feed your child. They can't legally change their diapers. They can't legally nap them. And you can only be with them on location for no more than 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So that's not like a long-term solution for a working parent like you and I, right?
Right.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to build one for myself. Like, I don't care if anyone's going to use it. I'm going to use it for myself. And so, and that kind of goes back to my personality of like all or nothing, right? And so that is how Boomo was born. And it's pretty much, we're offering solutions for really busy working parents to make their lives a bit easier. So, you know, we oftentimes view parenting and work in separate kind of like categories, but we're all about integration here, and we're really trying to reimagine what the future of family looks like, right? And even you and I, before we jumped onto this, we're talking about like, what is this new future of work going to look like, right? This hybrid kind of model, and everyone is trying to figure it out. And I think this goes into that kind of conversation of, okay, how are parents going to continue to work while being an awesome parent, right? And so Boomo is definitely kind of on the forefront of, I hate using the word trend, but it is a conversation that a lot of people and companies are having now. So Boomo is, I guess Boomo Work is, you can say, a co-working space with fully licensed childcare. And we're just bringing licensed childcare wherever working parents are.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful space. I mean, the pictures look so stunning. It's such a zen environment for children and for parents. I just wish we had one here in New York City. Hoping to be, you know, one of the first to be able to use that space when you guys do come out here. But, you know, they often say necessity is the mother of invention. And you have clearly created something where there is a need for it now more than ever. You founded your company in 2019 and have since been featured on the cover of Entrepreneur magazine. I've had articles in Forbes and TechCrunch. And, you know, I know a little bit about this story, but, you know, when COVID came along, it wasn't an easy journey. You guys had to really pivot. It threw a big curveball to your plans. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how that experience went for you?
Yeah. So when we decided, when I say we, it's me and my co-founder, Joan, who is an incredible educator and operator. She is the exact opposite of me, which is makes a perfect partnership. And so when her and I started working on this together, we were so excited about the physical location. We were going to open it up in spring 2020. We raised all the money that we needed. And of course, you guys know the story of what happened in spring 2020. Everything shut down. And so then we were like, okay, what do we do now? Do we just wait until COVID goes away and then pick things back up? But then we're like, what if we take the curriculum that we've been building and working on to launch in our physical spaces and kind of retrofit that into an online platform to see if anyone is interested in it? And quite frankly, we weren't sure if there was going to be any interest. But the minute that we actually put a few of our classes online, they immediately sold out. We had wait lists of few thousand people all across the world, like literally within hours of us listing it. And that's when we knew that we were onto something. And that's how Boomo Brain was born. And Boomo Brain is pretty much giving early childhood, so ages 1 through 7. We actually have classes for 6 months old now, which is so little, but 6 months old all the way to 7 years old, platform, live classes, on-demand classes. And what we realized is that it's a really underserved market and audience of that age group, especially virtually. There was really nothing that's high quality. And I know your daughter is enrolled to Boomo Brain. And it's been so exciting to see and hear the reaction from people and just kind of our consumers that are using the platform, because they're like, it's not just like, it not only works, but it's fun and the kids want to continue it. And also it helps parents, especially during COVID, just to give them a little breathing room, whether it be like 30 minutes to check emails, or, you know, some parents would like literally stack live classes back to back, like 5 of them back to back. So they have like 3 hours of work so they could get it done. And so that's what Boomo Brain is. And that really took off during the pandemic and still is kind of like the core of our business, as it launched first before Boomo Work did, which was not a part of the plan, but it all worked out. So,
well, you had to sort of pivot in terms of, you know, what life threw your way. And I have to say, I am so thankful for Boomo Buddies. It was my saving grace during the pandemic. I actually just received my new box here this week. These Boomo Brain boxes have been literally like the highlight every month. We can't wait for them to arrive. My daughter Leia opens it up. She goes through everything, and Boomo Buddies, Snakey and Wormy, are like her best friends. And I had nothing else. I mean, I truly had nothing else during the pandemic. And this at least made me feel like, you know, eliminated a lot of mom guilt. And it made me feel like I was able to give my daughter quality education during this time. So thank you for creating Boomo
Buddies. Gosh. Thank you so much for sharing that story. And, you know, that really is why we continue to do what we do, is because there's so much guilt that us parents hold, right? Whether, especially work, not that it's only working parents that feel guilty, all parents feel guilty at all times. Yeah. But from my experience as a working mom, I'm always like, oh, like I wish I could give something like a bit more quality than like throw her the iPad and like watching YouTube Kids or whatever. And so it's like, it's guilt-free screen time. And you know that your kid is benefiting from it. And it just makes you feel a little better with what you're doing. So thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah. And I'm excited to try the language classes soon. So we have a very multicultural family here. And I've heard actually, you not only have, you know, French classes, you have so many language classes, but I heard that Farsi might be coming up one day soon too. So we're super excited for what's to come down the line.
Yes, Farsi is coming up. So we're trying to cover the globe here.
So you talked a bit about, you know, early days as an entrepreneur. What was it like raising capital as a woman?
Oh, goodness. This is my favorite topic, because I've heard the stories of how challenging it is for a woman, yet alone a women minority, to raise capital. And I was like, it's fine. Like, I could do it. Like, I got this awesome platform, this following, like, I'm going to be able to raise money, no problem. And actually, it was exactly what I heard. It was hard. There were people that were asking me, not in like these words specifically, but you could see what the underlying question was. So questions like, well, you're a mom. And again, they wouldn't ask it in this way, but this is pretty much a question that they were asking. So they would say like, you're a mom. How are you going to be able to build a multi-million, billion-dollar business while like being a content creator and a mom? You know, we had another investor that didn't invest in us that would ask us, well, is this like a part-time thing or like a side gig thing? And we're like, no, this is like a full-time thing. And so there were just lots of questions that were real that I didn't realize that kind of still existed. And this idea of women raising money, it's just kind of, I don't know, it still has that stigma.
Yeah.
And it's sad. But, and we also had another investor who actually told us, because they were kind of our advisor, and they said, you know, it really sucks to say this, but the fact that you guys are two women and both moms, people are naturally gonna judge. If you have someone on your team that is a male and that can join those meetings, it will instantly change the perception and conversation. And we were like, and this is one of our own investors that believed in us, right? But they understood kind of like how it works. And that really, I don't know, it shook me the wrong way, but I understood that like that is still the reality of things. And there's still so much work to be done to change the stigma of women entrepreneurs.
I mean, it's incredible to hear that, you know, you read about so many of these stories of incredible, you know, women entrepreneurs who have really, you know, shown that it can be done, but still day in and day out, you know, you're just up against so much more to make your dreams a reality. And you were like, you know what, I'm going to show you how I'm going to do it all and make this company go.
Yeah.
And you recently had a post, actually, I was reading that really talked about how important it is to keep your dreams close to your heart and believe in yourself and to kind of take these big risks and just kind of, you know, having that faith in what you, your dream is. Your vision was, you know, from when Chloe was born. So really, yeah. Congratulations in making it a reality. And it's such an inspiration for so many other women who are hoping to launch their own business one day.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that was a post that I just did. And I felt really strongly about posting that because I, you know, whenever I walk into the center, it's a massive like location. And I'm like, how did I, and I sometimes I walked in here and today I just like stood outside and I was like, wow, like I did this, you know, we did this. And I just took a moment the other day to think about, okay, I actually didn't really talk so much about Boomo to other people because I knew that most people would shut it down and that would immediately affect my thinking of, oh, like, I don't know if I could do it. Naturally, like it affects all people, yeah. Right? So I held it close to my heart. I only talked to a few people that really believed in the vision. And yeah, I think it's really important as an early stage entrepreneur that you have to kind of keep things close to you and only like talk about it with your tight-knit circle that will support you.
Yeah. Well, you have since now gotten an incredible board of advisors that are guiding, you know, you through the steps of also incredible entrepreneurs. You have Rebecca Minkoff, Jessica Alba, and Ali Webb. How important has this community of women been to lifting you up and guiding you through these times?
Yeah, well, they were the first ones that I called when I had this idea. And because I didn't know anyone in the VC world, I didn't know anyone in the finance world, but I knew people that were women entrepreneurs that have made it in the fashion and beauty world. And very, very lucky that I am close to them. So I can call someone up like Rebecca Minkoff or Jessica Alba and ask them just for advice. And I honestly was just calling them for advice. And yeah. I think they were able to sense my excitement and passion and vision for Boomo. And so not once was I like trying to pitch them to be a part of Boomo somehow, but they all just want to be a part of it and support me however I can. And at the time, I just needed support with kind of guiding me through what steps I needed to take next. And yeah. I really valued that, especially someone like Ali Webb, who has like thousands of dry bars around the globe now, right? Yeah. And she's been able to franchise and like successfully do that. So I needed to learn from people that have done it. Jessica Alba with Honest Company, Rebecca Minkoff with her own namesake brands. I knew that I needed to build my tribe. And that was the very first step that I took because I honestly had no idea where to start.
Yeah. Yeah. So build your tribe, ladies. It'll help.
Exactly. Exactly. And it doesn't have to be a Jessica Alba. Look, like, I know that not everyone has access to someone like a Jessica Alba or Rebecca Minkoff or Ali Webb, but, you know, it's just these people that have these valuable experiences that you can learn from. And so whether that be the president of a company that you really admire or, you know, but I always tell people stretch a little bit. Yeah. It should feel a little scary talking to them because you respect them, right? So everyone that I talked to about Boomo, knowing that I needed help, I admired a lot and I respected what they have done. And I knew that it will be a little nerve-wracking for me to talk to them about this new concept. So that is my number one advice is kind of make a list of people that you look up to that you could get in touch with.
That's great advice. So it takes courage and don't be, you know, afraid to stretch and ask for help. You know, women helping women. That is what it's all about. So let's talk a little bit about working parents. You know, parents are in a state of crisis. I think we all felt it. You've talked a lot about how the traditional model supporting parents, you know, they're broken. They don't take into account how these things are not mutually exclusive and parents are struggling to keep up. What do you see as the future of family and, you know, what you're hoping to build with Boomo Parents?
Yeah, this is what really fuels us and keeps us up at night, wakes us up in the morning, is a conversation of future of family and future of work. And I think, if anything, through the pandemic, we've learned that parents can do both. Is it hard? Absolutely. But they are able to do both. And we need to create systems around supporting parents so they are able to do both. it's really unfair that so many women drop out of the workforce. I think just last year alone, there was over 3 million mothers that dropped out of the workforce because they simply didn't have the support system that they needed in order them to continue their careers. And to me, that's not fair. Again, we live in the 21st century. You know, there should be areas where women can continue to thrive in their career without feeling like they have to choose one or the other. And for us, when we rethink about kind of the core of it all, it's integration. The question is, how do we integrate work with family? And how do we integrate family with work? And this is the conversation that we're having with a lot of companies is, okay, how do you support your working parents to go back to the workforce and not feel like they have to drop out at some point because they cannot do both? You know, they should feel supported in both areas. And so we're just really excited about the conversation that is coming out of the pandemic, because I think people always knew that parents had to handle a lot. But I think after the pandemic, they realized that, okay, this is no joke. Like, we really need to figure out a solution. So yeah, we're really excited about this kind of time. And I think it took something like the pandemic for people to realize that they needed to create some change around it.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, you recently participated in a social media briefing that was hosted by the White House Press Secretary, Jen Psaki, and asked a really great question about whether the administration has any plans specifically to support for children under the age of 3. I really appreciated that, having 2 kids under 3. How did that go? Were you satisfied with the response that you got?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I was so honored that the White House gave me the opportunity to talk about something that I feel so passionate and strongly about. And quite frankly, like what we're building our entire business off of, which is this integration with family, right? And, you know, the American Family Plan is something that is much needed, that has been needed in America. And they're making really transformational investments for early childhood learning and education. But again, I did ask about specifically kids under 3. And they did say that they are making plans to, which doesn't mean that they are necessarily making moves right now. But I do understand that it does take time for anything like this, of this caliber, to actually take action. And so I'm just really glad that the conversation, it's starting and the verdict is out there now. And so I guess we just have to wait and see if they do everything that they did talk about. So I'm excited about everything that they're implementing, and we'll see. And let's circle back with you on this question then.
Yes. I mean, I appreciate so much that you were asking, you know, and pushing for change and pushing for consideration, being a voice for, you know, people who don't always have a voice in this space. I guess, what would your vision be for improved resources and benefits for working parents in the U.S.?
Well, honestly, I asked that question for ages under three, because we all know that the most vulnerable population for working parents to drop out of the workforce are new parents. And so I knew that, you know, if we're going to try to solve a problem with kind of getting people back into the work field and getting, you know, better education, it all has to start with supporting the parents that are just becoming new parents, because majority of them are just getting started. And I think it's a trickle-down effect. So once we're able to give more support to the new parents, then they'll be able to continue and change kind of that trajectory of women dropping out, parents dropping out of the workforce. And so my biggest hope and wish is that government subsidized childcare, and that would be so incredible for so many people and give so much opportunity to the people that actually need it. So
that is a wonderful vision, and I fully support that. I mean, it was very, you know, difficult for me to comprehend that there's no public education available under, you know, those age groups, pretty much under the age of 5. So without subsidized childcare, especially working parents are really left to have to make difficult choices. So I think that sounds like a really great solution, and hopefully one that we will be able to live to see one day. So tell me a little bit about how, you know, parenting has been and finding a balance between motherhood and your career during this past year. How are your girls doing? How are you doing? What has been some of the joyful moments that you have been experiencing during spending more time with them?
Oh, goodness. I mean, this entire past year and a half, it's all ebbs and flows. Every day is different. As you know, you have good days and you have really bad days. there are days you just don't know if you could continue on. And there are days where you just feel so blessed and lucky because you're spending so much time with your kids. So yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a such thing as a perfect balance, but though I do think Boomo work is the closest thing to striking that balance, I definitely do feel a lot more balanced out now that I have the center here and I'm able to bring my kids to work, especially my little one, Colette. But besides that, for me, it's been really creating structure and boundaries for myself and even my work. I was the type of person before where I would just work until everyone, you know, goes to sleep, and then I would work again, and then I would just burn out at some point. And so during the pandemic, I really had to make clear boundaries for myself of like, okay, this is, you know, family time. And so after 6 p.m. up until like 10 p.m., you probably won't hear from me. I will shut off my computer. And just creating those boundaries for myself and my family has really helped me out personally. And there's been so much, I don't know, special moments that we've created at home with the kids because of just being able to work from home. And it's been really nice for that reason. And my daughter, Chloe, she would just say random things because she's six, almost seven now. She would say random things like, this is nice. Can we do this every day? And I'm like, no, we cannot do this every day. But I'm glad that you feel like you're being seen and valued and loved. And so it just reminds me that just to take about little moments every day to spend time with her.
Yeah. There were definitely a lot of blessings and joys, but it was hard. It was hard. And I have to say, it gave me some comfort. I mean, I love how, you know, open and you are about your ups and downs, and seeing you with your daughters, it just gave me hope to be like, okay, yeah, I got this, you know, or it's okay that it's hard and it's okay that you kind of have to push through. So I think, you know, it's every day you take it a day at a time.
You definitely do take it a day at a time. And I think that's why I've also learned to just not to think too far in the future, because once you do that, that's when anxiety starts to rise up and you start planning things that haven't even happened yet. And so being more present, that has helped me. I've learned to be more present, if anything.
Being more present and setting boundaries. Those are great tips. And I need to start using myself. So, you know, in addition to your incredible style and also this amazing vision and business that you have built, you're also very uniquely skilled at building a community, better than, you know, anyone I've seen do it out there. But you have since really leveraged your platforms to inspire women, to support parents, and also advocate for the shared experience of minority communities. You often use your platform to educate and promote inclusion. How do you approach advocacy in your role as influencer?
Yeah, so I mean, I started off as a fashion influencer, but as I continue to grow and get older, you know, I guess you can say interests change, which, you know, is natural, but I also feel like there's more of a responsibility on my end as I have a larger platform. And I know that I can make an impact on people's lives. And so advocacy for marginalized and underserved communities has been one of my top things, because I come from a family of immigrants and they fought their way to America so I could have a better opportunity. So when I heard that the community at large was at risk, especially in the Asian community where the elders were being attacked and they were being killed, burned, you know, all these horrific things that were happening. Those were my parents. Those were my grandparents, you know, and I just couldn't stay silent because, one, I knew that they didn't have a voice. Most of these people, English is not their first language. So that is already a struggle for them. So they're not going to try to speak up for themselves for that reason. And they're not going to fight back. And what they have taught us, which we are showing that we don't need to follow and be silent all the time and, you know, kind of turn the other cheek. And that is what they were taught. So we knew that they were going to do that. And so our generation, we had to fight for them and stand up for our elders. And so, you know, it's been part of my work and kind of everything that I've been doing for the past few months, because, you know, that's family and that's something that, you know, we have to protect.
Yeah. And it affects us all. And really, you know, this is unacceptable behavior. And as you said, you know, our elders are not of the generation to know how to stand up against this and to use your voice. So thank you for shining a spotlight on this, for being a voice and an advocate for such an important cause. And, you know, I know what it's like being a first generation immigrant as well. And I think, you know, supporting your community and your family and your elders around such an important cause is so critical. And you have been one of the leading voices around this. So thank you for doing that. And, you know, I know that this is important to you and important to so many others. And why I just want to, you know, would love to kind of hear from you as you've emerged as this important public voice, raising awareness around hatred towards Asian Americans in the United States. Why is this not only important to you, but why should people who are not part of the community care?
Yeah, because I never knew that I could have a voice and say in this industry at a young age, because when I looked at the industry, whether it be fashion or entertainment, there were no Asian faces that were represented. And I felt like there was no room for someone like me to enter the room, right? And so now my whole purpose is to continue to do what I do so my daughters and the future generation don't ever have to feel like that, that they will always be able to confidently walk into the room because they're represented and they feel like they have opportunity. And just because how they look is not going to stop them from being able to pursue certain things. And so for me, that's been really important as an Asian American to represent my face as a public figure in the fashion industry, in the entertainment industry, as much as I can, because I know that there are little Asian girls out there that follow me and that are like, I could do that too. You know, I have the same eyes as Crystal. I have the same, you know, like my parents look like her. I look like I can do these things. And so when Mattel came to me to make a Barbie out of me and my daughters, that was a really big moment for me, if not one of the biggest moments in my career, because everything that I've worked towards to kind of raise awareness for Asian American girls, it was this, right? Because I grew up playing with Barbies. And I played with like blonde hair, blue eyed Barbies, but I still love them, but I never was able to see myself in them. So that was a really pivotal moment for me.
Representation matters so much, and especially to the younger generation. If you can see it, you can be it. And you have been such an inspiring figure for so many little girls, especially for, you know, young Asian American girls to know what the future holds, and the future is bright. And you are such an incredible role model for so many women and girls around the world. So thank you.
Thank you so much. That makes me so happy.
So, you know, before we close, is there anything that sort of drives you to do what you do today? Or is there anything you'd like us to know?
Gosh, that's a really big question, because I feel like I could talk to you forever. I think the biggest takeaway from my learnings for the past few years in building my career is be brave. I know that sounds so silly and so cliche, if anything, but just really dive into the fear. If there's something that you want to do, but you're really scared of doing it and you feel very fearful of doing it, that's a good indication that you should probably do it.
Yeah.
And that's what I teach my girls when they ask me a question of like, should I do it or should I not? And I'm like, well, like, how do you feel? And she's like, well, I'm scared of doing this. And I'm like, well, that's probably a good indication that your fear is stopping you from what you actually want to do. And so I think I still live by that, and I continue to make big decisions upon that. So, yeah.
Be brave. I love that. I think that's great advice for everyone to have, you know, and to live by. And you have definitely been brave in every step of the way. And we have loved watching the journey and being a part of it a little once in a while. But we couldn't be more thrilled to have you here with us today. I know we have a little game we're just going to close out with.
Ooh, I like games.
It's called Toe to Toe. We like to challenge guests to a little game of this or that and kind of go with your gut reaction.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So flats or stilettos?
Post-pandemic flats.
Leather or lace?
Leather.
Dress up or dress down?
Dress up.
Minimalist or maximalist?
Minimalist.
And then beach or countryside?
Countryside, surprisingly. I live by the beach, so I'm like, I don't know. I crave quiet countryside time. Yeah.
I understand that. Also, this is kind of a big debate going on right now in social media between millennials and Gen Z. So middle part or side part?
I mean, obviously side part. I'm not cool enough to do a middle part. I tried and I'm just like, oh, I can't do it.
And then this, I mean, you look great in both, but a red lip or a nude lip?
I prefer red.
Yeah. K-beauty or K-pop?
K-beauty, for sure. K-pop is funny to me. I mean, I know this is like just side note. I was obsessed with K-pop when I was growing up in Korea back in the early 90s. And like, I was obsessed with it, but then no one knew about it. But now everyone knows about it. So I'm like, eh.
Oh, I love K-beauty too. It's my go-to. All right. So phone call or text?
Text.
Yeah, all the way. I know this is a tough question, so I will let you, you know, pick, but YouTube, TikTok, or Instagram?
TikTok, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you're so great at all three, but it's you've been having some fun on TikTok lately.
I just feel like I could be a bit more carefree on TikTok and just say what I want, do what I want without people judging, whereas, like, Instagram is super, a little bit filtered, so yeah. I'm a bit more careful. So, and YouTube is like long form, which is like harder to commit to, I think, for people to actually sit there and watch for long minutes now. So I think TikTok is like the sweet spot for me.
Yes. Well, I mean, you were one of the big awarded creators at TikTok this past year. So, I mean, it was amazing seeing the content kind of play out. You really are an amazing content creator.
Thank you so much. That makes me super happy.
Well, I know we, you know, like you said, I could probably chat with you all day about all these different topics, but thank you so much for all of your time with us today and sharing your story so that our followers could get to know you even better and to see all the incredible work that you have been doing across so many different platforms. You are such an inspiration to me and so many women and girls. And thank you for spending the day with us.
Thank you so much. I mean, I love you guys. You guys are just like family to me. So thank you for always supporting me. And yeah, I'm so happy to be a part of the Stuart Weitzman family. So thank you.
Thank you all for the support. And make sure to catch a new episode every Tuesday. Give us a follow so you never miss a guest. We can be found anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you like it, leave us a rating and review and make sure to follow us at Stuart Weitzman to learn more. You can also find me personally at Banaz Garamani for more behind the scenes content. I'd love to hear from you. Shine on, everyone. Chat with you next week.